So this trip report is going over the first time that I've done ketamine. And this was recorded, I believe, in 2018 in September. And I'm just going to get into this trip report because it was significant. And I love sharing these trip reports with you guys. I'm getting a lot of great feedback from people. And, you know, just to be frank, the trip reports were how my quote-unquote brand started. It was just me sharing as rawly as I knew how to these experiences because they helped me understand them. And it turned into kind of the main vein of what it is that I was creating online. So I'd like to share this trip report with you guys. This is the first time that I did ketamine. I can't believe my life sometimes. On a Tuesday evening, I'm seated in the living room of one of my mentors, along with 10 others he'd call family, all of whom I respect deeply, while we each are injected with pharmaceutical-grade ketamine by a licensed physician. Sometimes my luck and this life feel like a lucid dream. I sit like a child, agape before his first Christmas tree. In this living room is a tribe of people who love and trust and explore their psyches with each other in a connected manner that I was never shown by family or by culture before. In front of me is a model of how a family, bonded by blood or spirit, could be. Before me is a whisper of how Homo sapiens are meant to be. And beneath this beauty is something deeper. Those people understand the sacred. In an age where depression and suicide seem like our culture's gods, the sacred is something desperately lacking. And to witness this kind of gathering is enough to bring tears to my eyes now while writing these words. The experience of the sacred is something our culture is crying out for. As I basked in the awe of the love that this tribe exemplified, I let the sacred cocoon my consciousness while the doctor injected me with ketamine. As I began to lay back and don my eye shades, I quickly repeated my intention. I ask for clarity and to understand love more. Then it began. Fear was my initial countdown operator. I had never done ketamine before, so my fear of the experience was fear of fear. And my companion let me know he was there by the excessive heartbeat I could hear pounding in my ribcage. However, as I began to sense the shifting of consciousness, fear began to subside and I began to experience a warm, almost molasses-like sensation fill my body. I felt warm and safe and clear. As is always the case with altered states of consciousness, a linear recounting of the experience is only something the brain does after the fact. So while this trip report will betray the experience and structure, it is the best that I can do. And before we go on, so we're all on the same page, I think it's worth touching on how I conceptualize the psyche. My basis of the mind is mostly a mix of modern cognitive psychology, which is very well-researched mainstream science, and then Jungian depth psychology, almost entirely theoretical and subjective. To keep things simple, here are the major landmarks of the experiential territory that I travel to. These are the models that I use for the psyche. Okay. Your entire mental life is referred to as the psyche. Your psyche is broadly divided into a conscious mind and an unconscious mind. Your psyche is roughly 1% your conscious mind and 99% your unconscious mind. The ego is the story your conscious mind tells itself about who and what you are. Awareness is the part of your conscious mind that witnesses. Okay, so with the mutual territory mapped, let's continue. My first major experience on the ketamine was likely what people would refer to as the K-hole. I, the observing self, what I would call awareness, felt like I was in space and that Eric, the little ego story that we've co-created with the help of everyone we've ever met, was miles away on the ground. At this distance from Eric's ego, an interesting thing started happening. I, awareness, began to hear him tell me what he was doing in the world. There is an idea in psychoanalysis best captured by Carl Jung when he said, man is an enigma to himself. What he means is, once you begin to grasp the vastness and complexity of the unconscious mind, and you study how limited and blind the conscious mind is, a profound realization occurs. We do not know what the fuck we are, or what the fuck we are doing, and why we are doing it at all. So this confession of the ego, Eric, was intensely interesting and absolutely surprising. The phrase Eric kept repeating in a mixture of singing and confession was one that would have triggered an existential crisis in my 19-year-old self. I, as awareness, heard the ego Eric repeating, I am trying my best to manifest the kingdom of heaven. I am trying my best to manifest the kingdom of heaven. Wait, what? If you don't know me, to give some background, I've never felt religious. I was a staunch atheist through my adolescence and have since been broken open to agnosticism thanks to psychedelics, but never have I felt particularly Christian inclinations. All I could do was quietly laugh as tears slid down my eyes. I was tearing up because I felt what he meant. I felt that he knew these words didn't capture what he was doing, but that these words were the closest that he could get with the tool that is language. He felt like a wide-eyed, innocent child standing in front of a tsunami, trying to protect the sandcastles that he and his loved ones have made in the yawning wake of entropy. Once I started coming back to baseline consciousness, I began exploring what I thought I meant by this phrase, but that's for later. Back to the experience. The next memorable experience was one of the most spiritually profound moments I can remember having on any psychedelic trip. If I were not inclined to try and express these trip reports as rationally and empirically as possible, I'd say that I became my guardian angel. And I got to experience how she saw and felt about Eric. But I'm going to do my best to explain this as honestly as I experienced it using the models of cognitive psychology and Jungian psychology. Okay, so the nightshades that I wore had styrofoam at the edges to block out light. If I fixed my eyes on the foam, I could see little specks of light coming through. With this sliver of sensory data, I could feel my brain wanting to turn these specks of light into a metaphorical symbol and to project deep meaning onto it. And I let it. These little specks of light became a cluster of stars. My mind told me, this is Eric. It was a symbol for my psyche. Many blazing stars scattered about, but all orbiting a single gravitational center. This is how Jung conceptualized our psyche. We each are a fragmented God in some sense, with multiple selves arising in the various life situations that we find ourselves. Jung believed that the most meaningful task any individual could embark on was to explore their psyche in its totality and to seek to integrate these fragments into a single collective whole. He called this the individuation process. So the fact that I had awareness of my psyche begged the question of what was experiencing Eric's psyche. I'm going to say that again. So the fact that I had awareness of my psyche begged the question of what was experiencing Eric's psyche. And it was awareness itself. When you start meditating, if you're diligent, you can begin to become aware that your awareness is actually distinctly different than your conscious mind. It is the light that animates the movie of your ego story. In meditative traditions, this awareness has been called the witness, the observer, or consciousness itself. This awareness is eternally calm. It has no triggers, no story, no ego. It is pure, almost non-human consciousness, awareness. However, this isn't exactly what I was experiencing. I think the idea of the Greek daemon or the Arabic genius makes more sense here. In both the Greek and Arabic culture, there is an idea that there is a force in our psyche that is apart from the ego story that tries to guide the ego story. We can pray to it, talk to it, and we can listen to it for advice. In modern secular language, we may call this our intuition, and in New Age terms, we call it our guardian angel. Whatever the name you find most fits your perspective, the felt experience was that my awareness stepped out of Eric ego and stepped into this other entity, and I got to witness how this other part of my psyche saw Eric's ego. And I heard it repeating, "I love you. I want to help you manifest your dreams. I love you. I want to help you manifest your dreams." Tears streamed down my face. This felt like the sweetest kiss the universe could possibly give me. This felt like psychic harmony. I know I have a long journey ahead of me and a lifetime worth of growing to do, but in that moment, I viscerally felt that I had an ally that transcended me, who loved me and wanted nothing other than to help me. And I quietly cried and cried and cried. Eventually, I started to come back to my body, and my mind kept trying to understand what I meant by, "I am trying my best to manifest the kingdom of heaven." I don't really understand how the answer came to me, but now that it has been introduced into my psyche, it feels matter of fact. There is an idea from Jung that he introduced late in his life, where he explored the stages of consciousness the individual goes through during the individuation process. He concluded that the highest form of consciousness is when the individual understands that their entire experience, both the objective and the subjective, is a single reality. Your experience of what you believe is the objective world is a creation of your nervous system. The creation that your nervous system manifests is always filtered by your subjective inner world. With that in mind, attempting to manifest the kingdom of heaven to me in that moment meant being in a mode of existing with the world, my experience, where I attempt to constantly, consistently, and compassionately bring love and truth into my present moment. I believe that how I manage my internal world literally affects the objective world that I experience. I believe that manifesting the kingdom of heaven is when I am in the present moment, in love, and in truth. That was the answer that came to me as my ketamine experience ended. Truth in love, love in truth. Be in truth and be in love. Love the truth. Love the truth. As I came back to my senses, I laid on the floor in awe of the gift that ketamine gave me. It showed me what the fuck Eric's ego is doing. I'm trying my best to be in love and to be in truth with this experience. Thank you for listening, and Namasteezy.